The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. Facebook.com/BillMyersShow. It's where we're happy to meet you online if you sit there. I'm checking that out right now. And, of course, we also have podcasts available on BillMyersShow.com, also part of KMED.com. It's pretty easy if you're not able to always catch up on something. Okay, we appreciate Clouser Drilling, sponsoring the podcast page. All right? Well, let's see. Top national story, Donald Trump expected, well, he has been actually, not expected, he is going to be named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And to celebrate the unveiling of the cover, the president-elect is going to ring the opening bell of the New York Stock Exchange this morning, so about 6:30. So fight, fight, fight as he's up there. He is it, the Don Person of the Year. Is there any doubt? I mean, who else? What? Kamala would have been the Person of the Year? I don't think so. But no surprises about that, but still, pretty darn good news, all right? So the Don gets some recognition. Something I wanted to talk about here with Senator Jeff Merkley. Senator Jeff Merkley, I was having a little fun at his expense yesterday because, you know, he was doing this this conversation about saving the monarch butterflies. And he's really, really big on this, and he's glad that it's going to be added to the threatened species list. It's not the endangered species list, but the threatened one, of course, is saying that climate chaos is driving this. And see, that's where I have a problem with Jeff's agenda. Jeff's agenda is tied into, I think, deindustrializing absolutely, you know, everything he sees. And I don't know how he expects to get paid in his senatorial world if the country's not making money somehow, right? You just can't have a bunch of nonprofits running the entire world, although they seem to be sometimes. You know, there has to be some profit, and even in order to pay the nonprofits to do some good work, right? It has to be some other profitable people that are doing this. But be that as it may, my concern about the senator's approach to things is that the solution is always a government kind of solution. What kind of restrictions do we place on people? What sort of nonprofits do we end up hiring to restore habitat? You know, that's normally the way that government, especially left-wing government type of people, look at. We the people can't possibly help the monarch butterflies by planting milkweed or whatever it is the plants are that tend to attract and help monarch butterflies live. You know, we can't do that. No, you're going to have to put large swaths of land off for development, or we're going to completely destroy the ability to use an insecticide. I guess an insecticide was another aspect of this. So even though I kind of have fun with him, he's not completely wrong on the issue. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. The problem, though, is that a Democrat will always tend to look at it. There needs to be some government-funded agency, committee, nonprofits, whatever it is, that will end up taking care of the problem rather than trying to find ways that are less impactful, will not keep us from going into land or building a home if we need a home, because that's eventually where all of these environmental rules go. It's like, you know, somehow the spotted owl ended up owning the forest, right? The only reason that the forest existed back in the 1970s and 80s was to support the spotted owl because of the Endangered Species Act, right? So everything ends up being a blunt force trauma, just club applied to your head, into your life's head, to your job's head, to your industry's head. The idea is to find ways to be less impactful. I don't think there's any problem with this. Now, the Ben Bulletin ended up having a story, and Rogue Valley Times ended up covering it and brought it in because Merkley's talking again about an environmental issue, and he's not necessarily wrong, okay? He's not completely wrong about the issue. And Oregonians concerned with microplastics seeping into their water supply, soil, and foods should reach out to their local representatives and urge them to take action to end the production of single-use plastic products. This is the solution from U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley. But you see, that's always the way that Jeff Merkley tends to react on something. There are microplastics in the water. Okay, well, then we just need to end plastic. Well, maybe one of the questions we should be asking is, how do the microplastics get in the water, right? Now, this is the message anyway. He just says, end single-use plastics. Senator Jeff Merkley is in Busan, South Korea. He's advocating for an end to plastic pollution at the United Nations Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee on Plastic Pollution. The meeting was the fifth and intended final phase of multi-year series of talks. I want to encourage folks to talk up and call up their state house member and their state senator and say, this is a real issue. When you go and start your session at the beginning of 2025 in Salem, do all you can to tackle this, Merkley tells the Bulletin. The goal of the meeting in South Korea, attended from 175 nations, is to create a legally binding treaty to reduce the amount of plastic pollution entering the environment and oceans in particular. Now, there's a point to this discussion about ending plastics going into the ocean. But is that the United States doing it? And if you look logically at it, the problem is no, it is not. We have pretty good trash collection here. We have pretty good sanitation systems. We're actually pretty good overall on most of this. Of course, we could be better. There can always be better. We're never perfect, right? You know, I get this. But the part that we also have to understand is that plastics is a major part of our society, of our life. And there are a lot of things that would end up having to change if you're going to say, well, to stop microplastics from getting into the water, we're just going to end single use. Okay, this would be like forks and bags and things like that. Well, we've already done a lot of that. We've considered it morally – first, it was morally superior to get rid of the plastic or the paper bag, right, because of the trees. And then you bring the plastic bags in, and then, oh, those are bad too. And, you know, pretty soon we'll just go back to – I don't know what, wax paper on everything. Who knows? Who knows? Well, the wax is probably a plastic, right? So one way or the other, we're kind of, screwed either way. But we also have to be honest with ourselves that when you have a sea of floating plastic out in the Pacific, which is the size of Texas, that's not progress, right? That's not progress. I think we can all agree that that is a problem and not something to be really, really happy about. In fact, I've been reading a book by Charles Hugh Smith, and I think it's called The End of Progress, or whatever. I forget the title of it. But he says that there are limits to this whole idea that technology is going to solve all our problems. I'm trying to get him to come on the show because I just think it's a very interesting book because he's not a lib. He's not a lib whatsoever. But he is talking about the fact that there are real limits to what we can do, and that always expecting that it's like our world religion is that there's going to be this amazing, you know, some smart guy like Elon Musk is going to solve all of our problems. And so we're going to have smart cities and smart this and smart that. Well, really what we maybe need is just well-functioning dumb cities, you know, that kind of thing, rather than we're all going to join in with AI and take part in the singularity and become just a bunch of meat robots plugged into Amazon. You know, so I get where Jeff Merkley is coming from. But once again, if you're worried about the plastics in the ocean, the real problem is the third world. Most of those plastics that are sitting there in that Pacific tangle, that floating mess, which is about the size of Texas. Yes, it's huge. It's a big, big piece out there. If you were to add up all the plastic, it's about the size of Texas. So it's a lot of water mass out there, and it's a real thing. Most of that plastic is coming from the third world, the Pacific Rim out there, you know, and various other countries that are poor. Countries that don't have great sanitation. I'll give you an example that, what was it, Linda, I think, was traveling with her mother back in the 1990s, maybe early 2000s, right before I met her. And she ended up traveling, I believe this was Malaysia, where she went to. And, of course, very hot, Muslim country, and all the women are in the stifling burqas. And they had, on the beaches, stifling these women in these stifling burqas in this miserable heat out there, raking the beach every day. They're out there in their burqas, and they're raking the trash off the beach every day. Every day they had to go rake the beach. Because the people that would have plastics or would have trash or whatever it is didn't have the money to properly dispose of it, nor was there that infrastructure to do what we do here in the United States of America. And so they shove it into the ocean. It's what they do. The plastic pollution that Senator Merkley is talking about is real. So I'm not going to... it's okay for him to notice the problem, but his idea that we get rid of single-use plastics in the United States and somehow that will magically cause the problems in the ocean, especially, which is what they're getting together to talk about, to go away, is not real smart, because the problem is a sanitation issue from the third world, because it takes money to have the infrastructure to take care of such matters. Now, maybe Jeff would be in favor of us transferring wealth from us. That also seems to be the other big globalist and left-wing way of looking at the world. Those that have need to do everything for those that do not, rather than actually helping the economies become more healthy around the world. But so I just want you to understand that I'm not thinking that Senator Merkley is completely wrong about some of his environmental concerns. What I am concerned about, though, is that everything is about, well, it's like locking us down because of climate chaos, as Senator Merkley will say, while China is going to be building coal plants till 2035, continues to do that. But on the other hand, we're Satan if we were to continue to use coal fire plants, and we have to have intermittent, chaotic, and insanely expensive electricity. You know, those kind of things. I just don't think they really think this through. And they knee-jerk automatically to, we're the problem, rather than, gosh, maybe we could be part of that solution. But not having a certain, not using, let me put it this way, not having plastic syringes or eliminating plastic syringes is not going to eliminate that problem. That, along with all sorts of other things. I mean, just think about the medical world. What would happen if there were no single-use plastics? Practically everything that's in the medical world right now is single-use, right? You do one shot, boom, that's it. One shot, boom, they toss it away or recycle it. Put it in the sharps bin, right? 24 minutes after 6. Anyway, it's a, kind of a thought through my head. I just want you to understand that I'm not just completely just bashing Jeff because because I just want to bash Jeff. Because he, some of what he says is right, or a lot of what he says about some of the environmental problems are real problems. They're real. But when you're looking at the plastic issue, most of that challenge is overseas. And the challenge is overseas because they don't have much money. Just like it has, you know, it takes good money and a good economy to be able to rebuild water plants like we're doing here in Southern Oregon, or upgrading the sewage system so that everybody is able to, you know, not pollute the groundwater and such like that. You know, it's not a moral issue that, gee, you know, good people will just automatically do the right thing. No, it takes money and it takes economic activity and production. I know that's a dirty word for a lot of the left, but that's the reality. 770-5633. Let me go to the phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Hi. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's Deplorable Patrick and...
DP, how you doing?
Not too bad, sir. Want to agree with you on everything and maybe add a little something. I saw one picture some time ago of some guy swimming like a scuba diver with the plastics that are floating in the ocean. This was even under the surface, and it was like cloudy and crap floating around in there.
Yeah.
Very impacted me to see that and make me start thinking about it. I pick up plastic if I see it on the ground. If I'm walking around, I'll pick it up. Because you know where it goes? When it rains, it goes to the gullies, down to the creeks, down to the rivers, and down to the oceans. And here's something that I'm doing that I would love to see other people do. I'd like to push on this idea. But these stupid stickers that are on people's tires, when they buy tires, and I bought new tires earlier this year, I peeled those stickers off before I drove the thing.
They're hard to peel off sometimes, aren't they? But then you end up... now, are those actually plastic stickers, or are those some kind of a plastic paper of some sort?
Well,
I don't know.
To my understanding, they're plastic.
Ah.
And we see it all the time when they put tires on our trucks. They come out and put these truck tires on. They leave these great big stickers on. I always pull them off, because what they do is when you're driving down the road, I mean, people don't think about it, but you drive a little way and it starts grinding it into little pieces. Where do those little pieces go?
Into the air, into the lungs, into the water. And so there's a point to be made for that. You know, in some ways you could see that, wow, a paper label would probably be better, wouldn't it?
It might be biodegradable. Something should be done. That would be an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Well, think about the, now when we're talking about the microplastics, we've had these kind of conversations. And of course, the forever chemicals, the PFAS that I've also talked about on the program from time to time. One of the issues that they've had with what they call, have you seen them talking about biodegradable plastics? And they'll say that, and then people will be happy. Well, you know, this bag is biodegradable. It's plastic, but it biodegrades. And then you find out it doesn't necessarily biodegrade. It just has some cornstarch or some other chemical in it, so that as it rots, it kind of comes apart. But the plastic doesn't go away. You see what I'm getting at? You just have...
It's in small pieces.
It's in small pieces. Exactly. That sort of thing. Is that a solution to the problem? Likely not.
You're exactly right to take this on, because even Laura Ingraham was saying on her program, we've got to get rid of plastics. Well, she's a smart lady and everything. We can't get rid of plastics, but it's a problem. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and... You think about what would happen just in the medical industry alone. What would happen if all of a sudden you just banned anything that was a single-use plastic? It would be utterly chaos, wouldn't it?
You're right, exactly. And but before I move past this, I would like to ask everybody who's listening, when you go buy new tires, ask the tire guy to peel those things off of there and put them in the trash.
Good point. Thank you, DP. 770-5633. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Who's this? Hello? Good morning.
Hey, Bill. This is Michael Shaw.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Once again, white noise not there. Sorry about the delay.
That's okay.
So you're a silly, silly man. You know that?
Why is that?
Because everybody talks about single-use plastic bags. It really isn't just bags. Everything in your life has plastic. Your eyeglasses are plastic. No,
that's right.
They're metal.
Right? Yeah. What I'm wearing right now, it's metal and plastic, and hard plastic for the lens, really.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the pens that you use are plastic, not metal frames. The chairs you sit on are plastic, not wood. You know, so much in your home is plastic. Your countertops, floor tiles, things like that. So the solution, if Jeff Merkley is serious, is to expand forest harvesting.
And go back to using wood.
You've got to go back to using wood and metal. It's not just wood, but it's also metal. That means that you have to mine metal to turn them into products.
Everything that Jeff Merkley despises about working that, right?
Absolutely. So if they're serious about it, then they have to do something about it in a serious way.
And serious way would be advocating more for wood rather than plastics in construction, in homes, and also and metal. Now, both require, the one thing you can say about wood is that it is certainly a renewable resource, because you just keep growing good trees, no problem,
right,
like that. Metal is also highly recyclable, and that's been very helpful. Hey, the scrap business is pretty darn good, as you well know, Dan.
Well,
you know,
absolutely. I'm in here in Medford for the next, this week and next week for the Christmas season, And I'm in my hotel room right now looking around me. So there is a plastic TV. There's a plastic DVD player. There's a plastic phone. There is furniture made with plastic parts. All that could be wood or metal if we really wanted it to be. But you have to be willing to pay the cost differential. Plastics are prominent because it's cheap.
It's inexpensive and easy. They're easy to use, easy to make. It's perfect. In fact, even look at 3D printing, right? It's a plastic resin that they're using.
Sure. I mean, it's all a matter of, are you willing to absorb the cost to obtain your goal? And the cost is not give the government more tax money. That doesn't solve anything.
But you understand that's where Jeff Merkley is probably leaning. And that's where we have to say, Jeff, you know, what happens downstream of this claim to want to get rid of these plastics in the environment? You probably could.
Well, this is,
but at what cost?
Bring up another topic right there, Bill. It's accountability of the government. So these taxes go to the government. Where does it go? Show us how you spent it.
Thank you for the call. Good one. Michael, you're always great on that. Glad to have you back in town. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
So I've been diagnosed with emphysema. So, I got the recommendations that I do is, well, quit smoking, which I plan on doing.
Good.
And avoid forest fires.
Really?
Really. That's one of their advices, is to stay away from forest fire smoke.
You understand that means you're going to have to move away from the area because of our particular policy that we have in Southern Oregon, Northern California.
Well, that's
in which burning the forest is considered morally superior to actually doing something useful with them.
I wanted to say was this is why we need the Wild Horse Brigade, so we can limit all these fires. And now that I have emphysema, I'm going to become a bigger advocate of the Wild Horse Brigade and Captain Bill.
All right. Appreciate the call there on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Dave, let me go to line one. Good morning, line one. Who are you and what's on your mind, huh?
Hey, Bill, this is Melissa Malasco.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Good. I have been to Mexico and Puerto Rico a few times, and when you go through the line at the grocery store, they give you a nice free bag, and it's made of corn.
Corn?
And it biodegrades, and it's just an amazing little carry bag there that you get to reuse a couple of times, but when you put it in the landfill, it's gone because it just turns into nothing.
So it's not a plastic, it's a starch kind of project. That's interesting. Or
yeah,
product, rather.
You know, it was a long time ago that I've seen it for the first time, and I just stopped and paused and said, why in the world do we not have this? Why haven't they done this? And I mean, the only answer would be, you know, the petroleum industry wanting to make sure we're using plastics. Or maybe we're using our corn, you know, too much for other things.
Maybe they're using the corn fiber for other purposes. I don't.
Put it in our gas, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're using the corn for all kinds of stuff. So I don't know, you know, but it would be, you know, somebody could get on it and just start making some more corn.
You know, Melissa, I'm going to look that up because what I want to make sure is that sometimes I've thought that something was biodegradable and they would say, oh, yeah, well, we have cornstarch in it or like a type of cornstarch, but there's still like plastic as the main strength builder. And I don't know, but you're sure that this is like a pure corn product and it's not a plastic hybrid of corn? Do you know?
And I did not look it up. We have a very dear friend who is American, but he has a Hispanic wife and they have a house in California and they have a house in Mexico. And they go between. And so, of course, he's in California, and we were down there with him, and he's bringing all these bags home because, you know, he can't get bags in California, and he's the one who told me about them.
Interesting. Melissa, thank you for sharing that, okay? I was not aware of that. I've not traveled to Mexico for many, many years, and it's good to hear from someone who's been the globetrotter, so to speak. By the way, do you need the passport now to go back and forth?
I think they keep pushing it back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the universal ID or
Well, I think, no, the real ID goes into effect. I have to get my real ID, apparently, for next year. My driver's license expires, and then I got to get it. And I'm just wondering, do you need a passport to go to Mexico at this point, or just the United States ID?
You need the passport, or you need a special card that you can go get down at the DMV that allows you to go to Mexico and Canada.
Okay, yeah. I have to get my passport renewed. It's been expired for a few years, and I just got to get that done. But, hey, thanks for the call.
You got to get it done.
All right.
You got to go somewhere, Bill. You work too much.
Got to go somewhere and relax with a... a nice alcoholic drink on the beach. It's 6:37 at KMED.
One of each K4 VIN 016551 MSRP 24145 Telluride VIN 576420 MSRP 43330 5982 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 1/2/25.
Get the gift you really want. It's the holiday trade up during the season of new traditions at Kia Medford. Upgrade your old sleigh, then save on our huge selection of brand new Kias. Trade up to the all new 2025 Kia K4 LXS, just $169 a month lease. Or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S all-wheel drive, only $229 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Hurry in and trade up to a K4, $169 a month, or Telluride, $229 a month at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
When choosing a contractor, you need a professional. Clauser Drilling's professionalism starts with their organized office staff and continues with their experienced field staff. A family-owned business, Clauser Drilling employs qualified individuals with diverse skills and experience who share the same passion. This means dependable results you can trust. Don't take a risk on your well contractor. For drilling, deepening, or repair, call 541-476-7795 or visit clauserdrilling.com. Serving Southern Oregon since 1971. Thanks to you, they're great customers.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service. Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage. I just want to say a huge thank you to our friends and neighbors who voted to make us 2024 Gold Medal winners for Best of Southern Oregon. Without loyal customers like you who recognize our commitment to the highest standard of service, we're just another place to get an oil change. So thank you for your continued support. And thanks again for choosing American Rancher Garage. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule an appointment with us today. American Rancher Garage, we are United Through Service.
Stop by this week for farm-tastic deals at your local Coastal.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what your holidays need.
From Wednesday, December 11th through Tuesday, December 17th, it's ho, ho, ho and a bale full of fun with $100 off the Coleman Power Sports V200 Mini Bike. Plus, find amazing value in our tool department. Save $90 off the Milwaukee 3/8 inch 56 piece ratchet and socket set, and save $150 off the Milwaukee half inch impact wrench kit. Give that special woman in your life a meaningful and beautifully crafted gift with 25% off jewelry, including Montana Silversmiths and Double S. Find all your project and holiday supplies for less this week at Coastal.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what your holidays need.
Shop now for a country Christmas full of savings at Coastal.
The Coastal jingle always makes me kind of happy. I love it when they get their Christmas jingle out. It's 20 before 7, 770-5633 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday on the Bill Myers Show. And by the way, I'm Bill. And we've been talking a bit about that. Well, we started off with Jeff Merkley, and I was saying Jeff Merkley's not always wrong. He's not wrong about being concerned about the plastics in the environment and the microplastics and even issues with the monarch butterfly. It's about what are the preferred solutions. And, of course, the Merck's point of view is that just ban plastics and that everything will be fine, except that there are amazing costs and challenges that are there. And a lot of the pollution in the water that we have right now with the plastics is coming from the third world without sanitation. They're not doing landfills. It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge, and it takes economic activity and output to make it happen. Carol Ann, you wanted to weigh in on that, too. What were you thinking? Something you were watching the other day about corn with the plastics? Melissa Molasco was talking about that.
It's Carol Ann.
Yes.
A couple of things about corn. Yesterday I saw a short on YouTube where they were saying that Mexico does not use American corn because it's GMO.
Uh-huh.
But they have about 50 different kinds of corn in Mexico that they use in all kinds of things, including lots of food products.
Yeah, and because corn is such a staple of the Hispanic right. diet, the Mexican diet, that right. that makes a lot of sense, and they were not interested in GMO corn. GMO right. corn, of course, is I think, if I understand correctly, most of the corn in the United States of America is GMO corn.
Right. The other thing I wanted to mention is, since you have cats and I have a cat, I use a particular kind of cat litter that is corn.
Really?
Totally biodegradable. You can. I don't put it down the toilet because I have a well, but it says you can, that it's safe for septic systems. I have a septic system. But I could tell you the name if you want.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm always looking. You know, because the one thing, I'm using clay right now. It's cheap, but it's not necessarily okay. real good.
Well, this isn't
know?
Necessarily cheap, but I agree with the name. It's called World's Best Cat Litter. And it's fantastic. I've used it for about 3 years. So.
I appreciate the call there. Carol Ann, thank you for checking in on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. So I'm going to check out World's Best Cat Litter. Hopefully the name holds up, I guess. Wild Sam and Steve, how are you on Conspiracy Theory Thursday? What you thinking, Steve?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. I'm here. I'm up and moving. That's all a good thing.
Yay.
Yeah, I think my day is going to go okay. We're going to go to my high school. We have a monthly reunion from the class of 1965, and I'm going to go see some friends this morning.
Oh, that's great. You know, I was thinking about having gone to my own 45th reunion, you know, just a couple of months ago. We were talking about that, and I can understand it in some ways. As we get older, you need to have the reunions more often. Right?
Yep, we have them weekly. Well, the people that live locally here, we all go somewhere and have a cup of coffee or go to a park and sit down and just talk about what's going on and who knows what about who and all that fun stuff.
But just because of biology, attrition seems to start weighing in on those reunion meetings as the years go by, right?
That kind of thing. It's harder and harder just to get there.
Imagine so.
Okay, you're talking about plastics, and microplastics is one of the things that comes up. Do you know where most of the microplastics come from?
I would be willing to wager that it could be automobile tires, because tires are not just rubber, right?
They're 20. According to an article I found from National Geographic, tires consist of about 19% natural rubber and 24% synthetic rubber, which is a polymer made out of oil. It takes about 7 gallons of oil to make a car tire and 22 gallons to make a truck tire.
Now, is that polymer a plastic, though, a microplastic,
yes,
as the Merck would talk about?
It is a plastic.
Hmm.
It's a polymer.
So my gut was right about that. Okay.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Well, so peeling the sticker off of the tires might help, but it's the rubber that wears off of the tires that, you know, just gets ground into very fine dust, and that dust ends up into the streams and rivers and stuff.
And into our lungs, too. That's interesting, because in order to take care of that, then, to reformulate rubber to not be a microplastic kind of dust, because rubber will naturally degrade over time, right? We know that, right? Just takes a natural rubber.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of trees to make natural rubber, so you almost can't win at that. And there's another form of microplastics, and that is fleece jackets and those blankets that are made that are really, you can buy them at Costco, they're really fluffy and soft.
Oh, yeah, the cheap ones. Yeah, the cheapies.
Yeah,
they're cheapies.
They're reformulated plastic.
Hmm.
They're very fine fibers that are reused plastic.
So to get rid of those kind of plastics and fibers in our life would take a massive change and a move back to natural fibers rather than looking at our clothes, the polyesters, the nylons, all the rest of them.
We're going to have to go back to hunter-gatherers and just forage for food out in the woods.
Hmm.
You think and wear animal skins, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, animal skins. That would be great. Yeah. As soon as we see Jeff Merkley show up for Congress in a caveman outfit, then we'll know he's serious about his deal.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you got to. If you can't really make fun of the Merk a little bit. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is that, being intellectually honest, he is paying attention to what is a real problem. But
yeah.
The
well,
solution.
They're finding microplastics everywhere. And you know, people are saying, well, this can't be good because we're eating it, or it's in medications or whatever it is that where they find it. You just look at the number of cars and the number of tires there are, and you know, you have to replace yours every few years, depending on how much you drive. And so we're creating it ourselves.
Well, if we're going to get rid of the microplastics in the air and the water from the tires, all you have to do is have Elon Musk and the big brains get the technocrats creating the floating cars, okay? We need the floating cars.
Just go to Mars.
Yeah, okay, go to Mars. There you go. Yeah. Microplastics on Mars. That'll be the next one. Thank you, Wild Sam and Steve. I run a little bit behind here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but I appreciate you being here. Let's catch up on news now. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Medford's rolling out an $880,000 mobile emergency command center. It'll provide a platform to help emergency responders better communicate and coordinate during wildfires, earthquakes, floods, hostage negotiations, or crime scene investigations. The Oregon Department of Agriculture is releasing details about its program to test milk for bird flu. Oregon is one of six states to test milk. By January, 75% of the state's milk will be under surveillance. There have been no cases of bird flu detected in Oregon dairy cattle or milk yet. The Oregon High School Success Grant Program needs more data to determine if it's actually working. A state audit finds that over 6 years, $760 million has been used to increase career and technical programs and increase programs to reduce dropouts. The audit says there isn't enough information to know if the grants are successful. Bill London, KMED News.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
You want price transparency? I'll give you price transparency. Joel here with Butler Ford and Truck Center, and from now through the end of December, I'm posting every invoice on every single new Ford on the lot. Walk the lot, see your invoice price, and let's make a deal. I've got 44 F-150s with the invoices posted, 56 Super Duties with the invoices posted, 51 Broncos with the invoices posted. Plus, I've got Escapes, Explorers, Rangers, Mavericks, Mustangs. All 226 new Fords on the lot have the invoice posted at Butler Ford for the rest of December. And remember, if you're a business owner looking to take advantage of the $179 tax deduction for the year-end purchase, Butler Ford is your $179 headquarters. All my Super Duties qualify for the $179 deduction, or maybe you want a lease. Come see me, and I'll show you how it's done. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your savings. Well, we got it all. And for the rest of December, dealer invoices clearly posted, making it easy for you to get a great deal on your next Ford.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So, when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
If you're just joining me, I started the show off with talking about Senator Jeff Merkley. He's over in Korea, or he's been over in Korea. And Jeff does his best work, of course, when he's outside of the country. I'm having fun with you. A little bit of that. But in all seriousness, he's talking about reducing plastic pollution and getting rid of single-use plastics. And they're talking about the treaties over in Korea, doing a worldwide treaty to help do this. And the thing is, though, is that Jeff is not wrong about that. It is an issue. Having a floating plastic lagoon the size of Texas out in the Pacific is not progress, all right? That's I think we can all agree on something like that. But I would argue, though, that the vast majority of this is coming from the third world, where people are poor, landfills are scarce, and so they're using things that just work for them, and they push the stuff into the ocean. And that's not ideal, but that's what happens when you don't have a lot of economic activity, just saying. And so the solution's getting rid of single-use plastics and such, but boy, you look at where plastic is, and it's everywhere in the environment and everywhere in the chain. Peter, you wanted to weigh in on that, too. Go right ahead, please.
Oh, my God, what a subject, and how, you know, it's such a nice thing to wake up to about all the crap in our environment. But I've always thought the irony of Patagonia, and if you know anything about Yvon Chouinard, he's obviously a strong advocate for the environment and all that stuff, and yet, well, most of their clothes now are either plastic or plastic coated.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. And then the other is, I heard a piece the other day that was talking about how all these plastics give off formaldehyde, and so...
Yeah, many of them used inside homes are that way. That's why when you buy new carpet... You have that new carpet smell, not particularly a healthy thing for most people.
He was saying anytime you go out and buy new furniture or new carpet or any of it, you should leave it outside for about a month first.
Maybe so. It does end up gassing out eventually. You know, maybe the way we're looking at this is that we're concerned about, the big concern has been about microplastics getting into our body, which is a real thing. You know, it's not a fake problem. It is an issue which is being observed by the medical folks, and it is, you know, it's everywhere you go. Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a way to reformulate plastic so that it doesn't have the endocrine disrupting capability, which many of the current plastics do. And that's one of the things.
I think it's one of those things. There's a lot of places that people, it's all about our habits. It doesn't matter if we're talking food or plastic or all kinds of things. And of course, if you have to pay for a bag, that's one way to get us to use our bag and just have these, you know, cloth bags in the car that you go into a store and you just take a bag.
But even then, most of those cloth bags are actually polyester fiber bags.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking about is what a huge problem all our waste fast fashion is when it goes in, you know, after we get rid of it and then Goodwill gets rid of it, then they box it up and crate it, you know, and pallets off to Africa.
It ends up being part of what's called, what some have termed the landfill economy. The landfill economy. You don't make something to last, you make it to be eventually put into the landfill. Peter, thanks for sharing that thought this morning. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. 770-5633. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Hi.
Hello. Is that me?
Yeah, it's you. Good morning.
Howdy. This is Boyd Nashlin.
Hey, Boyd.
Tires are made primarily out of latex. Latex comes out of trees.
Okay, what is made out of? You got a bad phone. Back away from your phone there. It's very distorting.
Okay, well.
No, back away from it. Keep it far away from you. You have a very distorting phone. I can't understand you.
I have to be able to hear.
Oh, okay. Well, keep it close to your ear, but don't put it right by your mouth. How about that?
Anyhow.
All right.
Latex is white. Tires are black. Why is that?
I think it's the addition of carbon black, I believe. I could be wrong about that. I seem to think that is part.
They add coal fly ash to latex to make it black.
Uh-huh.
And the single largest solar gain on Earth is tire dust. Every black top street is covered in black dust.
And that is what another caller had mentioned here a few minutes ago, Boyd. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, that a lot of the microplastic from tires. Yes.
So instead of adding coal fly ash, we need to add white sand or ground oyster shells, and the tires will all be white, and that will reduce solar gain on Earth by maybe 33%.
You know something? It's an interesting point. Thank you for making it, Boyd. 770-5633. I have to buy him a new phone. I really do. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Mike from down here in Talent.
Mike in Talent. Good to have you on.
I listen to you all the time. Enjoy most everything you've got to say. Enjoy all your guests. I got a little news for you this morning.
What's that?
199 is closed at the California-Oregon border due to either a landslide or an accident.
Oh, you know, I had not checked trip check this morning because I didn't think we had much snow problem, but this is something different. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I was headed down there at 5:30, and one of our other guys called. He said, "Did you look on trip check?" I said, "No." He said, 199 is closed, so turn around and go home.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely closure here. I'm taking a look here. All lanes, both directions, highways closed. Yeah, use an alternate route. So you're going to drive up north, right? You're going to go all the way up north and cut over at Eugene or whatever that is, right?
Yeah, you're up to Winston, cut over.
Yeah, just Winston. Yeah, that's where you go.
Highway 42.
Yeah, that is a long, long detour for sure. And what's the detour to go through California to get out there? Do you know? Just curious if you wanted to, instead of going north.
You got to go down to Yreka across 96, I think.
Yeah.
Oh. Or 299 down in California, which will bring you over to Arcata. But you got to go way down by Redding to get to that. So.
Boy, I'll tell you, that is a big deal. So no going to the coast today until they get that taken care of. So this is at milepost 41. Because I'm trying to think which milepost, where is it? That's not Gaskey. Not that Gaskey area. Must be a little bit closer in the
canyon. Milepost 41 is up, it's right at the border.
Oh, at the border, okay.
Gaskey's like 15 or 16.
All right. Very good. Hey, well, thanks for the tip on that. And I did not know because I hadn't checked this morning because I was thinking, hey, the weather's fine. The weather is not getting sketchy until later on. But I appreciate the call. Thank you for making it, okay?
All righty. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good hearing from you.